Okay, we'll try that. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 5. Remember, we start off with the birth of Samuel, Eli, his corrupt sons, God telling Eli he's going to put an end to his line in the priesthood because they're so evil, he's allowed it to go on. They're losing the battle to the Philistines, so they decide to force God's hand. They'll bring his ark down, and that'll ensure victory. They're trying to get God's blessings without God's presence. And so they bring that down, but the Philistines defeat them far worse. And so they lose the ark as well. Eli's sons are killed. He dies. And so now the ark is in the possession of the Philistines. Well, as an Israelite, you can't think of anything much worse than that, right? You've lost your high priest. You've lost his two sons. You've lost the Ark of the Covenant. You've been defeated by the Philistines. So you're just flat defeated. So it's over, right? God lost. God didn't come through. God lost. It's over with. Well, don't count God out. Okay, the people maybe go bad, but God is always faithful. So in 1 Samuel chapter 5 begins with, "And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod." So Ebenezer was the Jewish possession. Ashdod is one of the cities of the Philistines. So they triumphantly bring the ark home as a spoil of war. "When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon." Okay, Dagon is the primary god of the Philistines at this time. Dagon is common among the area. He actually came from Babylon. He was a god, an idol out of Babylon, and the Philistines have adopted him. Many of the Canaanites have. He's actually supposed to be the father of Baal. Okay, you hear about Baal a lot, you know, throughout Judges and so forth. But Dagon is supposed to be the father of Baal. So this is their god. And so he's their god that they pray to give them victory in war. So they're saying, okay, you gave us the victory, so here's the spoils. We're going to take their precious religious object and put it before you to show that you are superior to the God of the Jews. Okay? Now, "And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him on in his place again." So they have this statue of Dagon here, okay, their god that they worship, this statue. And they put the ark before him to humble it. Okay, they're humbling the ark of God. But when they get up in the morning and they go in there, Dagon is on his face before the ark. So God said, "I'll show you who's superior here. It's not Dagon. Okay, you may have beat the Jews, but that was part of my plan. That's part of their judgment for their disobedience. But God, as represented by the Ark of the Covenant, has Dagon fall down on his face before him." So they thought, well, that can't be right. That can't be right. Must have had a little earthquake last night, kind of tipped the balance, you know, because Dagon's probably this big tall statue, you know. So he fell down. So we'll just put him back up. It'll be okay. Okay. They're hard-hearted. They don't learn. So they took and they set him back in his place. "And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left unto him." Okay, so God says, "I wasn't kidding. You didn't get the message." So this time, not only did Dagon fall on his face, his head snapped off, in both his hands. So in the threshold of the door, he fell down like that and just broke off. So they can't just put him back up and pretend it didn't happen. "Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod until this day." So they're afraid. There's now a long-standing superstition that that threshold is where Dagon was broken, so just step over it. We don't step on that, you know. Something bad may have happened, you know. Walking down the sidewalk as a kid, what, don't step on a crack, break your mother's back, you know, that kind of a thing. "But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them, of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. Okay, so God is bringing judgment on them all by himself. There are no Israelites here. This is the camp of the Philistines, but God is taking care of himself. So not only has he shown them that he's superior to their god Dagon and humbled their idol, he has put grievous diseases on them. Okay, so the question is, what are emerods? Well, actually, that's the Old English word for hemorrhoids. Okay. Now, some people say it could have been other things. Some translations call it tumors. Some say it could have been the bubonic plague, because the bubonic plague makes your lymph nodes swell and things like that. But either that or they had really, really bad case of hemorrhoids, because this isn't just preparation AIDS. This is people dying. Okay, it's serious. So they are seriously ill. They're having seriously illnesses, uncomfortable, embarrassing, so forth. So God is saying, don't mess with me. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was said so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon, our God. So they're like, we don't want this thing anymore. Okay, this isn't working out so well. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of God of Israel about thither. So they said, we don't want it. Let's send it to you guys. Now, did they tell Gath what it happened? Maybe not. They just sent it to another. There's five cities of the Philistines that are confederated together. So they said, we don't want it in Ashdod, so let's send it to Gath. Okay, that's where Goliath was from, was Gath. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. So the plague went with the ark. This wasn't just an infestation that just happened to be at the same place. So they moved the ark, and guess what? The plague went with it. So they haven't caught on yet. And it came to pass as the ark of God came to... Therefore they sent the ark to Ekron. And it came to pass, the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. So Ekron's not real happy with them. They're like, wait a minute, you trying to kill us off? We don't want any part of this. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and sent away the ark of God of Israel and let it go again to its own place. They sent it back to those Jews. Okay, we don't want anything to do with this anymore. Are they repenting and saying, you know, we need to abandon Dagon and go to God? No, they're hard-hearted, but they just want to get rid of it. Just get it out of here. That's the way a lot of people are about Christianity. They get convicted about their sin. And, you know, you might be talking to somebody and you even get them to realize that they're a sinner and you think, oh, great, you know, maybe they're going to get saved. No, they harden their heart and say, leave me alone. I don't want to hear about it. Get it away from me. Okay. That's the way many people react to God. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and sent away the ark of God, let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there, and the men that died were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. So they all got in. It was terrible. So the death and destruction, and so God is just... taking care of his own ark. Okay. Now, let's see. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Chapter 6. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. So they want to be free from the plagues of God. And so almost everybody does. When you get in trouble, you want to get out of it. Okay, you want to get free from that. So he says, don't just send it back, but you got to send an offering with it too. Then they said, "What shall the trespass offering which ye shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was upon you all and all your lords. So they said, each one of you is going to have to cough up the gold, and we're going to form it like a hemorrhoid and like a rat. It's like, oh boy, what a beautiful offering that is. You know, these people are so far from God, they have no idea what God wants, okay? And that's us. You know, Isaiah, God tells us that our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, okay? In God's eyes, our best, when we, oh, I'm going to do this for you, God. I'm going to give you this sacrifice, give you this offering. It's like we're sending him golden hemorrhoids. You know, that's not glorifying to God. But these are pagan Philistines. They don't understand that. They worship vile gods. I mean, if you've ever studied mythology, these gods of these other religions are vile. They're vile and disgusting and awful. And so they don't even understand. So they're sending God golden rats. And it's like, you know, that's the best they can come up with. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods, images of the mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory to the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them? Did not they let the people go and they departed? So that story is still around. They still remember what God did in Egypt. And so they said, you know, God is sending plagues upon us just like he did Egypt. So if you've got any sense, don't do like Pharaoh did and harden your heart and let it get worse and worse and worse. Send them out. Get rid of them quickly. Yeah, I said even Egypt, even hard-hearted Pharaoh finally let them go. Now, therefore, make a new cart and 2 milch cows, okay? Cows that are still nursing their calves, on which have come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. So they're going to hitch them to a cart, use that cart to carry it. But these are milk cows, and they're taking their calves away from them. Well, what's a milk cow do when you take her calf away from her? She goes to her calf. I mean, that's going to be the natural thing. She's going to go to her calf. I mean, I guarantee a milk cow will go find her calf. Okay, one, they're concerned about their calf, but also milk cows want to be milked. I mean, when they came up with automatic milkers in barns, you know, because you got all these barns and this and that, so, you know, people got tired of going and milking them by hand. So we've got automatic, you know, vacuum systems and automatic milkers and this and that. And this one dairy farmer set it up to where the cows could go in there anytime they wanted to and milk themselves. And he had always milked them twice a day, morning and evening, he milked the cows. But he said when you let them go whenever they wanted to, they went 3 times a day. His milk production went up, okay, because they were ready to be milked. So milk cows want to milk. And said, take the ark, lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which he returned for a trespass, in a coffer on the side thereof, and send it away. So they put a little barrel on the side, put their gold stuff in there, and said, hook up the calves, put the ark on it, and let's see what happens. And see if it goeth up by the way of the of its own coast to Beth Shemesh, that he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then you shall know that this is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. Okay, so we're going to do a test here. Kind of like a fleece, like Gideon said, you know, we're going to set this up. We're going to hook the cows to the cart, put it all up there. And if they go by the road straight back to the Jews, then we'll know that there's supernatural intervention in here. But if not, if they just do what I expect, which was just go back to the barn to their calves, then we'll know this was all just an accident. It just happened. We just had bad luck. So let's see what happens. And the men did so, and took 2 milch kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they lay the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer of the mice and the images of their emerods. And the kine took the straight way to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them under the border of Beth Shemesh. So off they go. Okay. Now, they're lowing. That's what milk cows do when it's time to be milked. They're lowing. They want their calves, but they're heading straight for Israel, heading straight out. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping the wheat fields in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes, and they saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came to the field of Joshua the Beshemite, and stood there where there was a great stone, and they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kind for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So here they come down the road, pulling this cart with the Ark of the Covenant on it. No person around. And the cows plod right up till they get behind beside this field, and there's a great big rock just perfect for a sacrifice, and they stop right there. Because animals do what God says. He's in control of the animals. He led them right there. So they used those cows to be the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and they used the wood of the cart for the fire. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord. Okay, so the Levites, because they knew how to handle the ark properly, and the coffer that was with it. So I send the coffer and the jewels of gold, give that into the treasury of the Lord. Hopefully they melted them down and reshaped them into something more useful. And put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth-Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. So they hung back and watched to see what was going to happen. And these are the golden emerods which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. For Ashdod 1, Gaza 1, Ashkelon 1, Gath 1, Ekron 1. And the golden mice, according to the number of the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even unto the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Beshemite. So at the time this was written, it was still there. They kept the ark right there where they took it off the cart. But now this part is a little surprising. Verse 19, and he smote the men of Beth-Shemeth because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000, 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Okay, so Philistines had suffered for having God's ark. And now it goes back to the people of Israel, and they rejoice, but then they break God's covenant, and they look in the ark. Okay, they're not supposed to be touching the thing. It's supposed to be hidden within the Holy of Holies, and even when it's out, it's supposed to be covered. But they're curious, and they go, oh, this is neat. We really want to see those tablets of stone that God wrote on. You know, sure, I mean, we'd have it in the British Museum today, right? We'd have them all up there in a big exhibit or something like that. And so they looked on it, and so God slew over 50,000 people. I think that's more than the Philistines slew. You think, wait a minute, why? Well, because God's people know better. God, he says, judgment should begin at the house of God. God will judge his people sooner and more severely than he will the pagan world. Now, that's not the way we see it. We see the pagan world and all the terrible things they do, and we say, you know, God, bring down your fire of judgment on all these terrible people. But we don't like it when he brings judgment on his own people. But guess what? We're his own children. I mean, think about it, you know. When your family, if you go out and do something and all the kids are being terrible and awful, I'm going to grab my kids out of it. The other kids, it's not my problem. Okay, but my kids are going to get punished for it because they're mine. Well, that's the way it is with God's children. He's going to be someone. They knew better than this. So God put a huge judgment upon them for violating his law. And the men of Beth-Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim and said, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. So they're doing kind of like the Philistines did when they got judged. Send it on to the next city. So they say, Kirjath-Jearim, they don't tell them all the things that happened. So why don't you guys come get this? You know, I'll be safer with you. And if they can't keep their hands off of it, it's probably a good idea. Get it away. Get the temptation away because they've been disobedient. So God has defended himself. God has shown his glory against the Philistines and against disobedient Jews. Okay? So God is holy, and we need to respect that. And when we don't respect that, we'll feel his judgment. So they learned their lesson. They learned that God really is powerful. God really is holy. And we didn't lose this battle because God wasn't powerful enough to do it. There's something wrong with us. Okay, that's what we need to catch on. When these terrible things happen and we are starting, oh, how can a good God do such terrible things? It's like, no, how can a good God be so patient with such terrible people? That's what amazes me, how God can be withhold his judgment because we're so awful. So when terrible things happen, maybe we should look at ourselves and say, what have we done? What can we change to get back into God's favor? Not what's wrong with God. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn from your dealings with your people in the past. I pray that you would deal with us gently, Father, and just guide us in the path that you would have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.